This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's September 9th, episode 1252. It's too many twos to say. This episode is brought to you by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. Jamie, it seems like a month since I've talked to you.
It has been a nice break of getting up early and riding horses as opposed to getting up early and talking to you. I slept no longer, but I rode a lot more horses.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. I have some news for
you. You too.
Big news for you.
Breaking
news. We have a lot to cover today. I mean, today's going to be a busy show because we haven't talked in a while. But yes, this is big news. Everybody that's a regular listener to the show knows that Jamie's favorite store is Target. That she's a Target fan and aficionado. Everybody also knows that Jamie might imbibe in some wine occasionally and maybe some beer every once in a while. So Target is catering to your needs. They are test marketing in Chicago the first bar in a Target store.
Oh, my God. I'll never leave.
So
I'll never leave a Target.
You'll be able to not only walk around, you can walk around with your Starbucks in one hand, because most of them have Starbucks, in your Starbucks in one hand and your Kahlua in the other. You'll be in good shape.
Well, let me start with correcting you on two things. I am not drinking a Starbucks in Target. I have enough, stimulation in a Target. I don't need a Starbucks to keep me going. And second of all, I'm not going to drink Kahlua.
How about a little wine? How about
let's get some wine or beer, some vodka. Yeah, I mean, let's hit the hard stuff. Kahlua is your thing.
Now they're testing it, and they're not sure, what they're going to do. They, a lot of Targets already sell wine, but this would actually be a bar. Now they're saying that they may not be allowed to let you walk around the store with it. That you might actually have to sit in the bar or the lounge.
Shots.
So they're also talking about you're going to love this, they're increasing their grocery offerings across the country, and they plan to carry more organic, natural, and local products. So there
yes.
you go.
I did notice that they are doing that, and they are I read an article that they're moving all the crap food to the to different parts of the shelves, so it's not so accessible to children. Because you don't realize until you have a 2-year-old that everything that's colorful with Disney characters is right at their eye level, and it's very sneaky, and I don't appreciate it.
It's
one
bit. 100% sugar and chocolate, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, Target is trying to make you happier.
They're having a hard time financially right now. What I've read is that Target is, they're not a Walmart and they're not a high-end store. They're kind of the mid-grade. And I seriously shop at Target, as you know, so I don't have to shop at Walmart. Right, so I feel like a better person. I don't know why. So
that middle store, isn't it? You got the Kmart at the lower end. And yep. I'm always shocked when I see a Kmart because I'm going, oh, they're still around? I'm always shocked when I see a Kmart. And then at the upper ends, you have your, fancy grocery stores. And then Walmart and Target are somewhere in there competing for that dollar. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But you know what? You can't get a wine to go at the Walmart.
No, you cannot. Yeah, and this is very exciting. I need to spend any more money at a Target. I swear, I go in there for one thing. It costs me $100 every time.
It is a brilliant marketing plan, because if you're drunk, you're liable to spend $200.
So. Oh my gosh, I'll be in trouble. I can't go.
Jennifer, what horsey stuff are we going to be talking about today?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, even though it feels like a Monday edition, We're going to catch up on Glenn and Jamie's Labor Day weekend adventures. And then it's off to South Africa to chat with the 2015 Mongol Derby winner, Byronie Epstein. And skidding through the finish line like a futurity rainer, it's the crappy list.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to our friend and eventer, Tammy Smith, who was competing this weekend at the Copper Meadows Horse Trials. And, well, let's just say she had a good weekend.
Now, that's a good one.
Copper Meadows actually hosts classes all the way up to three stars, CIC three stars. And, you know, Tammy wasn't content to just enter the three star. She thought, well, while I'm at it, I'll enter the one star and the two star because I have so many freaking good horses. And
a couple horses in the two star, too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She must have been like, they must have been like changing tack and doing things that, like a pit crew. Anyway.
You know, at that level, I think you have a saddle for every horse.
Every horse, yeah. Well, she decided to win the one star on Fleeceworks Royal. And then she decided to win the two star on Chatwin. And then she thought, well, what the heck? I'll just go ahead and win the three star on, is it Maybomb?
My bomb.
So she won the one star, the two star, and the three star. Do you think there were some few people there competing that were going, oh my God, Tammy's here.
You know what? Copper Meadows is such a fun one. That's Taryn Atkinson's place. And it's
That's
so
the California
cool.
one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's in California. It's near, to get there from here, we kind of head towards San Diego and it's a little before that. But it is such a fun one. And it is every inch of that property is utilized. I think, remember we talked to Taryn and she said it was like 40 to 50 acres and they really maximize all of it. And it's in this almost like this very weird housing area. And they just have, it's like you're in these kind of crappy neighborhoods and then there's this horse trial. It's amazing. So it's just, it's really fun to go to. Tammy just kicked butt. I mean, she just cleaned up. If you look at eventing scores, like they always have the name of the winner, and then you have to click on it for more information. It's like Tammy Smith, all the way down. It's crazy.
And it's not like she didn't have any competition. Holly Bennett was there. You know, there were some big names there. I mean, she had some competition.
It was definitely her day for sure. And she placed, I think, fourth in the two star and another horse. She had a really good weekend for sure. Heather Morris was there. Robin Fisher was there. Erin Keller, all of the big, you know, Rolex riders were there and she just cleaned up, man. She's just awesome.
Well, later on in the show, we're going to talk about another horse trials that happened, or a couple more horse trials that happened over the weekend. One that took its toll, and Jamie's competed there too. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but we have your Daily Winnie too.
It's been coming, but the news hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw our listener Don post about it on, Sunday. Sunday was the day that Monday I found out, sorry. Wise Dan, one of my favorite horses of all time, has officially been retired. He was slated to run the Woodbine Mile this coming Saturday. And they've been gearing up. If you recall, Wise Dan had colic surgery, came back and won. He then broke his foot and he was coming back and he was going to have his had a non-displaced fracture on his cannon bone. Then he's come back from that. He's amazing. He's an 8-year-old gelding. He's been training lights out. And they worked him and they brought him back and they said, they're giving him a bath. They just noticed a little bit of fill in his tendon area. And so the vet scanned it and he turns out he had a tear on the outside edge of his tendon. Now, while sad news, tremendously sad, thank God they caught it before he's out there galloping and, you know, hurts himself really, really bad or whatever. It could have been a major breakdown. So they've really been on top of this horse from the beginning. He's won over $7.5 million for them. He's 23 wins from 31 starts. He's just absolutely incredible. He's a warrior horse, just really cool. So what they're saying is that he's going to retire and he's going to go back to their farm in Kentucky. Morton Fink, the owner, said, I hope they take him to old friends. I really would like for more people to be able to go and see him. I've already sent them an email. Yeah. Can I go see him at your farm?
Yeah, no, it would be a shame for him to be somewhere where the public couldn't go and visit him, really.
I know, I know.
He really actually needs to go to the horse park and Hall of Champions.
No, I wouldn't wish that. That's too boring. They just live in this tiny little paddock and they get paraded around. I mean, it's great for some horses, but Wise Dan deserves a big, giant field and lots of fans.
I got news for you. At Old Friends, they get a little tiny paddock. They don't get a great big field.
Just seem, but they get friends, and I don't know. I just think.
Well, at least at the horse park, you'd be seen by thousands of people.
I know, I know. I don't know. I'm just, my heart is leaning towards Old Friends, Glenn. Don't argue with me. However, I wanted to, I just, you know, Wise Dan is the man. My dog is, you know, I have two dogs. One is Zenyatta and one is Danny. Like, come on. You know who I love. And I found this, and I just wanted to pay a little tribute to Wise Dan.
If he were to give you betting advice, you'd never lose. He turned down the lead role in Steven Spielberg's movie War Horse and a spot in Dancing with the Stars all in the same day. His legend precedes him the way the national anthem precedes all sporting events. He is the most interesting horse in the world. Wise Dan. He does not always run races, but when he does, he prefers to win. Keep betting, my friends.
Now, it doesn't end there. I might have another one.
It sounds exactly like the guy they get for those commercials, too.
It's Wise Dan, of course.
His mother has a tattoo that reads, Lisa D, Mama to Wise D. He has successfully selected perfect brackets in the last four NCAA basketball March Madness tournaments. He can tie a cherry stem with his tongue. He is the most interesting horse in the world. Wise Dan.
One more. There's a whole series of these.
His workouts, similar to a presidential address, have altered network prime time programming. California Chrome keeps a photo of him in his stall. He is the only horse to ace the Wunderlich exam. He is the most interesting horse in the world. Wise Dan. He does not always run races, but when he does, he prefers to win.
I love it. Respect, Wise Dan. I'm going to miss you, buddy.
Obviously, a betting website put those together and it did a
good
job. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. It was
America's Racing Betting or something like that. Yeah,
America's Race something. Yeah. So very cool.
That was very funny. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We had some fun. We had a holiday weekend and I saw videos of you jumping two particular horses. One is you don't often see a Mustang jumping. So it was cool to see Thor out there doing his thing.
He is actually kind of cute over fences. Now, I had just a great weekend with all my horses and between Edward and Thor and Norman, it was just really, really fun. I got up really early. The kid was asleep and Chad was off. So it was great. I'm like, I'll watch the kid. I'll be back in like 4 hours. I'll be outside. So I took set up a little course with like a trot pole, then the little cross rail and then a trot pole again. And little Thor, man, he's pretty smart. So he goes up to it the first time, every jump, by the way, first time he crashes through it. Second time he tries to avoid it. Third time he jumps it perfect. It's like he learned every single time. And so I kind of got him all the way up to doing a little course of like three or four jumps, a little cross rails. And he was so game for it. Norman, on the other hand, just jumps things like they're not even there. If you put a cross rail that is too small, he crashes through it. Like he doesn't even see it. He's 17'2".
It's below his sight line. He can't see it.
You have to make a cross rail that starts at the top of the standards on each side and then goes down like a very low X. So you have to really put it like in his peripherals because otherwise he's like, whatever. But he was really great. But he's just kind of like just going through the motions and kind of just flinging himself over him or trotting over these big cross rails. And so there was a jump in there and I just trotted him to this vertical. I was like, well, let's see what he does. And he pings over it and jumps it great. And my friend Macy was in the arena. She goes, oh, my God. Like, basically, why are you trotting him up to the vertical? The vertical was 2.9. I didn't realize how big it was. And it was, he just trotted it and jumped it like a rocket. So he's got a lot of potential. Both of them do.
2.9 only comes up to his knees.
I know, but it comes up to my boobs. So I was excited.
I mean, he looked at that and went, oh, I can get over that. No problem.
Yeah, it was a great weekend with the horses for sure. And now I saw that you had a pretty darn good weekend with Scooter and Beaker.
Yeah, Scooter's been away from the farm before, but only to hand walk him. Like, we took him to the Florida Horse Park and we hand walked him around because he's never been away and actually driven in the cart before. So it was Monday morning, Labor Day. We said, oh, let's just go over to the Florida Horse Park. There won't be much going on there. Little did we know there'd be 1,000 trail riders. Decided to show up on Labor Day. The cool thing about the Florida Horse Park, different than a lot of the show parks in the country, is the Florida Horse Park is like 700 acres, and it abuts the Florida Greenway, which is that park that runs all across the state, and it has all kinds of trails, too. So people can go, unlike the Kentucky Horse Park, where you can't go and ride your horse, the Florida Horse Park, you can show up anytime. It doesn't matter. You just show up, you park wherever. I mean, it's literally 600 acres, most of it open fields with the jumps for the shows, and then they have the driving obstacles and stuff. So it is a neat place. They have a brand new indoor they just built, a huge, enormous covered arena that they just put up.
How far is this from you guys?
It's about 35 minutes, but it's an easy drive. It's like literally two turns and we're there. So we took him over and we walked him around a little bit first to get him used to everything. And then I ground drove him around. I put the harness on and ground drove him around. And then we hooked him up to the cart and he was terrific. I mean, everybody that listens to the show knows that he has a little problem with what we call BBs, baby bolts. And there were no baby bolts. And what I figured is this is a wide open space, right? I mean, he has never seen a space this big before. What I figured is if he bolted, he was going to run out of steam before we hit anything, right? I mean, he was just going to get tired before anything bad happened. And
you can run it out. Run it out.
So I just let him go. I mean, what was he going to do? So we did. We trotted him, and he loved the trotting through the big open fields. He hasn't had that before because our fields are only a couple acres, and these are like 400 acres. So it was nice because they had it all mowed. It was all mowed. It was really nice. And then we went around the outer edges, and he went on a little adventure with grass up to his little belly, and he was munching along the way. Every once in a while, he'd catch me off guard, and he'd reach down and grab a bite. So obviously, he wasn't too stressed if he was eating along the way.
No, he loved it.
He absolutely loved it. He had a great time, and Beaker is his security blanket, so Beaker goes out ahead to save him from all the wild critters. But yeah, we didn't. If a deer had come bounding out of the woods in front of him, we'd have been gone.
You can't expect the worst, Glenn. This was really, really good.
That's just realistic.
Now you have little blinkers on him, right? I mean, that's a driving.
We actually have half blinkers on him. When we had the full bridle with the full blinkers, he didn't do very well. The thing that gets him is sounds like rustling bags or leaves rustling or horses coming up on him at a gallop. Those things really get him. So we put the half blinkers on, so when he turns his head, he can actually see behind him.
That's good.
And it seems to work better for him.
Monty Roberts said you need to bed his stall this fall when you get him. Bed his stall with leaves.
Yes.
Make all sorts of noise all the time. Do the plastic bags.
And we have been working with him on that. Yeah, he was terrific. Now, the biggest problem he had was not getting in the horse trailer. The little squirt has some trouble getting out of the horse trailer. And I posted a video on our Horses in the Morning page. You can go over and watch it. This is after about 5 minutes when I started videoing. It was him trying to get out of the horse trailer. For some reason, he thinks that's a huge step. It's about 8 inches, and he just thinks it's enormous, and he can't possibly do it. So we got to the park. It took us about 5 minutes to get him out of the horse trailer. When we got home, it took us about another 5 minutes. He'll walk on just fine, but getting off's a different story. We have to turn him around. He will not back off.
Must say, I am super proud. I just love how patient you guys are with him. You know, if I can just judge for a minute. Okay. Jennifer, well done. Like, that's really good horsemanship right there. Giving him plenty of time. I saw that the video you posted, you said that this was 5 minutes after you started filming. And you're right. It's like 6 inches. You want to just be like, I can pull you off here, you tiny little thing. Like,
I can push him off.
Push him off. Yeah, go. But you know what? You gave him the chance to make
some decisions. It has to be his idea or we haven't accomplished anything. You know, if we push him off, he's not learning that he can do it. So himself.
I love it. That was really, really cool. That was good to watch.
He was pawing, trying to make it better. And
and he was really stressed when he jumped off, considering he dove right
into the grass. Yeah, that's one thing he's very food motivated about everything. So that helps us out in situations like that. But we didn't, you know, we also try not to bribe him with treats too much because he's also very treat aggressive. Very treat aggressive. Now, no. Jennifer has taught him that when we actually do give him treats, was not when we're training or anything anymore, just, you know, at random times, he will turn his head to the right. He'll turn his head almost the whole way back, and then he comes back for his treat. And she taught him that so he wouldn't be so aggressive about attacking you for it. So now he knows he has to turn his head to get his treat. And that really has helped a lot, actually.
Yeah, I had a couple of my horses. You are fine to give them hand treats, like no problem. And then there's just some that just can't handle it. He sounds like one that just can't handle it. Pony out here, he just can't handle it. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, got to treat. Oh my God. You know, and I'm like, that person is 4 years old. You cannot rip it out of their hand. Okay. Like, so there's a couple that were like, put the treat in the bucket.
In the bucket. Yeah. Bucket's four.
I'm like, Edward, you can hand him a treat. He's suspect about it anyway, you know.
Now, Monty doesn't believe in giving hand treats at all. I mean,
in the bucket, right?
Monty doesn't do hand treats. No treats.
No treats.
It's rewards and pats.
And I got to tell you something, that he's got all these girls that are certified instructors out at his farm. And I'm not going to tell you which one or ones of them told me this, but I was giving Edward some treats and they were standing there and I said, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to give him treats. And the one instructor said, I give mine treats. So I just want to let you know that, you know what, you got to take what you're going to listen to, you know, and put it in your own pocket. I was like, she's certified and she does it. I can give my horse a darn carrot. He deserves it. But I think it's a difference between men and women, too. Like, he's a big, tough guy. Like, this is the way we do it, you know? And
think that's entirely true because I give the horses more treats than Jennifer ever does.
Way more.
Yeah.
Way more. And then there's the other end of it because you're not a big, tough cowboy.
Right,
you're
exactly.
You're a squishy radio host.
That's true. That's true. And on that note.
There we go.
My little pony.
I mean, happy? It had to happen. Robin had already messaged me about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So that was Scooter's adventure over the weekend. I was so thrilled, and I got to tell you, it's been a long time since I had a pony that I was able to drive with Jennifer out on a trail ride. And that we used to do that all the time. You know, when we had our big farm, it used to be that it was like your place with all the teenage girls hanging out there. And we'd all go out to the Game Lands was nearby, the Pennsylvania Game Lands. And we'd all go out. I'd drive my cart, and there'd be four or five of them riding their horses. And
what was in your cart with you, Glenn? Two things.
Beer,
dog, and the picnic basket.
Yeah, I always carried the food and the drink, and then the dog would come with me.
I thought you were going to say beer and wine.
We used to do some crazy stuff, and I think about the things we used to do. We used to race across the fields, and you know, I would be there with my pony going at a full gallop across the fields. I mean, stuff I wouldn't do today. It's just crazy stuff.
It's amazing what happens to your courage when you get a little older.
You know, and it's kind of disappointing because I would think that you're older and wiser, you'd be braver. You know, I mean, I don't know, but it's the opposite. It is the opposite. We used to do some wacky stuff. I mean, really, the racing we did around the fields with the cart and everything. I mean, I was 2 seconds from tipping over and dying. And we weren't wearing helmets back then, you know, we didn't have helmets back then.
You know, that reminds me of a post that Jennifer put on the Horse Radio Network's auditors Facebook page. And yes, if you are an auditor, you get special access to all these different things. And potentially, I think, Jennifer, you said this was
conversations in
really good. And this is going to be, I think, used on a upcoming episode of Horse Tip Daily, correct? Is what was the question you asked?
What out of the box ways that you find time to exercise your horse in your busy life?
So it, of course, went into this conversation of, you know, there's certain things that you do. And it just was like, okay, the girls at my place, to save time on the busy days, they don't tack up their horses. They hop on bareback and, you know, clip on, they get their halter and they bought those like Western clip on reins. Yep. And they hop on and they ride their horses bareback. And I said, and what I like to do is I like to get on bareback and hop on and then take them for a walk and graze them. And somebody was like, oh, I fell off when I did that. I don't ride bareback anymore. I'm like, no. I did not say I ride bareback. I walk and graze. The girls. And that's the difference, Glenn, is what you're talking about. Like, there's a certain age that all of a sudden you get a lot more sensible. Like, there was something happened in my, like, when I hit 30, I'm like, yeah, I don't gallop around bareback and jump anymore.
Well, just, and I think, too, when you have kids, that's when women say that they, you know, that happens to them, is when they have kids. And dads, too, I think, you know, because they just, there's, I don't know, there's something else to live for, right?
Yeah.
Your fear of dying becomes a little more increased.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? Coming up next, we're going to have somebody on the show that obviously is not afraid of dying, because anybody that does what she did, you're just a very brave person, more than I will ever be, for sure. And we talked yesterday on the endurance episode with Karen Chatton to one of the girls who rode in the Mongol Derby last year. And of course, the Mongol Derby is the 1,000-kilometer race across Mongolia, the steppes of Mongolia, on these Mongolian ponies, and who are barely broke.
My friend Madison rode last year in the race, and her mom came on, remember, to talk to us about the prep that she had done.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it is a wild thing. And, you know, we talked a lot about the race itself yesterday. Well, every year we have had on this, I think since we started the show, we've had on the winner of the Mongol Derby, and we're going to do that today, right after this commercial. From Back on Track Products. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. And of course, you can follow Back on Track Products on their Facebook page. Just visit backontrackproducts.com. Of course, a lot of the top riders in all the disciplines around the world use Back on Track products. Well, now coming up, her name is Byroni, and she is from South Africa, and she is the latest winner of the Mongol Derby. Congratulations.
Hi, thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. You know, how long ago did you finish? How far has it been since the Derby?
It's actually nearly a month. It will be a month on the 12th of this month.
Are you physically and mentally scarred still from the...
No, I, you know, mentally I had a great time, and physically, actually, I'm going to get my knees MRI'd tomorrow, so I'm hoping that they'll be okay.
Now, you did say in one interview that you had a trouble with your left knee. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was on the third evening, my left knee actually just blew up. It was really, really swollen. It was really sore. And I couldn't actually walk on it for the rest of the ride. And I think I just got a few really lazy horses, and I wouldn't accept for the horses to just stop and not move. So I just kept, you know, kicking and making noises to try and make the horse go, and, you know, made it to the checkpoints. But I think I just injured my knees.
Mongol ponies know English, or did you have to speak Mongolian?
No, so we don't actually, so like, I don't know, back here in South Africa, we go like, to make the horses go, and like, in Mongolia, you go choo choo. So I was like saying choo choo all the time and changing my voice tones, thinking maybe that would help, but I don't know, it didn't really help that much.
So Mongolian horses do speak another language. They don't respond to clucking.
Exactly.
How funny.
That is funny. So tell us a little about yourself. Are you an eventer, an endurance rider, or neither, or what was the story?
Yeah, so I mean, I started riding when I was four, and I think I just, you know, just fell in love with horses. Horses are amazing. And I went to a great stable yard where show jumping and eventing was the main, you know, the main, event. And and for me, like, it was perfect for me. Like, I absolutely love eventing because, you know, you've got all elements. You've got dressage and you've got show jumping and you've got cross country. And kind of, you know, challenged me and tested me. And so for this race, like, endurance was a whole nother, you know, thing. I had never done endurance. I didn't know what endurance was. So I was just really lucky to be able to, I actually came over to Houston for a month to train with, Justin Nelson. And he did the Derby in 2010 and won the Derby. And so he was really, really kind. And he's like, yeah, come over and stay with me and you can ride my horses and I'll help you train. So I was like, oh, that's fantastic. I'll be there. yeah, and I was just lucky.
Now, it's not cheap either. It's expensive to get in. Did you have to raise money?
Yeah.
You know, I was shocked. We had one of the competitors on our endurance episode yesterday. I had ridden last year. One of the ones that was robbed, by the way. Yeah, there were like eight of them that were robbed by motorcycle bandits. And
what? I didn't know this.
They didn't tell you?
No, that's new news to me. They said be careful, but I didn't know.
Yeah, well, here you go. Now that you're done, I can tell you. They actually were eight of them that were robbed. There was these guys on motorcycles, and she was terrified, and she was in the lead. You know, she was probably going to win the thing, but they held her up for 6 hours. And it turns out that all that, you know, she was afraid that, you know, rape and murder on the, you know, the steppes of Mongolia is what she was picturing. Because we have to remind people that you guys are like 2 hours away by helicopter from anything when you're out there. So you know, help is not, there's no state police nearby. You know, you're on your own. And she was terrified, but they were only after the electronics. They stole the GPSs and any electronic stuff that they had. And they actually ended up robbing eight of them. But, you know, one of the things that you'll probably attest to is once the Mongolian people found out about it, they went out themselves and hunted these people down and caught them.
Yeah, I mean, this is news to me, but when I was there, because I rode quite a bit of the race by myself, and, you know, being like a younger female, I guess you have to be aware and, you know, watch out for yourself. But I felt, you know, the whole time so, so safe. I mean, everyone, all the Mongolian people and the herders and the crew, and everyone was always looking out for you and helping you. And, you know, obviously you're not allowed outside assistance, but just in terms of safety, like, I never felt like I wasn't safe, you know.
Now, you carry a GPS with a panic button, really, right? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, so you navigate with a Garmin GPS, but then we also have a tracker that's attached to you that's got SOS and a help. And obviously, if you are really injured or you need, you know, emergency assistance straight away, you'd press the SOS button. If you just maybe a little bit injured and it's not like an absolute emergency, but you do need assistance, then you'll just press the help. And I mean, and the crew I mean, obviously, as the days progress, you know, the competitors spread out along the field. So you never know how far away help is. But, you know, they did ensure us that they will be with us as soon as they can. So that was.
And actually, good. You got some help along the way when one of your horses decided not to cooperate. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. So it was actually on the last day, the first leg of the last day in the morning. There was a group of five of us. It was the leading group. And we were cantering. And I don't know, maybe I just lost my concentration for a little bit or something. I'm not sure. We have like a longer lead that you hold on, and it kind of just like slipped out my hand, and a combination between a hole and that lead, my horse like stepped on it and somersaulted forward and I came off and face planted. And luckily one of the guys that I was riding with, you know, had a really fast horse, and his name was Maxim, and he was able to get up after my horse and catch my horse. And then they were actually both New Zealanders, got off and actually put me in the recovery position. And it was quite funny because he was speaking to one of the other riders and saying, "What's the recovery position?" And he was looking at me, and I was kind of like, "I don't know what the recovery position is." And then he like asked me, what day of the week is it? And I'm like, "I don't know what day of the week it is." He's like, "I don't know."
I've been riding 12 hours a day for 8 days. What do I know?
I know, but no, they were really, really helpful. I mean, if they weren't, like, you know, that just shows the sportsmanship involved in the event as well. And I'm really glad to have had them there, and that they were good people. Because, you know, not everyone would, you know, do that for you and get your horse and make sure you're okay. And if that didn't happen, then, I mean, the whole race would have been flipped and there would have been a different outcome. So, yeah, I'm very grateful.
That was nice.
Well, Jamie, you know, we need to have, we need to find out how close. Now, you raced for how many days? Was it 7 or 8 days?
I did 7 days, yeah.
12 hours a day.
Yes.
Yeah, for 7 days straight. And how close was it at the end?
You know, It was pretty close, considering, you know, considering it was a 7 day race between Elise and myself, because Elise also finished. She was the young French girl. She also finished in 7 days. And so the first two legs of that day, I was actually concussed, and I wasn't really talking, and I couldn't really see that straight. So I kind of just sat on my horse and held on, you know. And then Elise pushed on. And she was pushing the whole day. And then I was with the Kiwi Shiwi team. And I said to them, you know, there's two more legs to go. And I'm going to go try and push and catch Elise. Because they had been like watching me and saying, can you tell us like how many fingers we're holding up now? And that sort of thing. So I was like, yeah, no, it's okay. I'm going to push on. And so I arrived at the second last horse station. And I was looking at the horses on the line, and I was like, you know, really focused, because I had to try and pick out a good horse, you know, and you never know what type of horse you're going to get. And this little boy walks up to me with this gray horse, and the gray horse like didn't look too impressive, but this little boy was really sweet. And he was just speaking to the translator, and basically he was saying to the translator, "You must tell her she needs to ride my horse." And he was really proud of his horse. And I was like, "But why should I ride your horse? You know, like, tell me about your horse." And he just kept going on about how amazing his horse was. And I was like, you know what? Let me try this horse out. So I got on this horse, and this horse actually turned out to be fantastic. And I managed to catch up with Elise. And I was really like, I was going really fast that leg to catch her. And then the rest of that leg, which was about another 20 Ks, I don't know how many miles that is, but it was like there was so much tension. Oh my gosh, it was hectic. We were both like on the same route, but we weren't really talking, and it was just like both of us were just really focused, you know. And we got onto that last horse station, and I had a fitter horse that managed to cool its heart rate down. I don't know if you know about the heart rate rule.
Yeah, they check at every station, and if your horse is overexerted, you basically lose time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, like, we got in to that last station at the same time, and luckily there was two vets at that station, so we could get our horses checked at the same time and My horse just had a lower heart rate and cool down quicker. So I was able to get out that station much faster. I, you know, selected my horse and there was just everybody. There was all this excitement in the air because it was only, I think it was like an hour and a half. An hour and 45 minutes or something left of the day, you know, and I was thinking, you know, I'm just going to go find a family on the step and stay with them tonight and then finish the race the next morning. And so I went galloping off, and this horse was fast. I've never ridden such a fast horse in my life. Oh my gosh. And we were just going, and there was massive holes in the ground everywhere, like Merman holes. So you can't really see them, but if your horse steps on them, you guys are both goners. You both just collapse and you come off, and I don't know, hopefully you can hold on to the horse. But I was like, oh, I've got to have some faith. So I was just like, it's the last leg. Let me just go for it. And we were going and going, and we got to like this rocky riverbed. And I was like, oh, I should probably let my horse, you know, relax a little bit. I actually finally had some breaks. So I slowed down a bit and I looked behind me, and then I saw Elise, and I was like, how did she catch me? I was going so fast. And she also got a really fast horse. And then I was like, no, I've got to try and drop her, you know? So I just decided to start galloping full out. And she was chasing me, and we were just racing across this riverbed, and there was just rocks everywhere. And you didn't even see, like, the river would so basically what would happen, the ground, you'd be galloping along. Next thing you know, it would drop 2 meters, and you'd jump into like a riverbed, like on a full out gallop, and then you'd be trying to like handbrake turn. It was insane. It was a lot of fun. And we were just going at it for about, I think we must have raced for about at least 10 kilometers, like full out gallop. And it was the most incredible riding. And then I was like, you know what? You know, we both have fast horses. I can't drop her. I might as well slow down to a trot. So we both started trotting, and then we were just talking and laughing. And we looked at our GPS and we looked at the time, and we were both a bit like amazed. And we were like, how did we go so fast, you know? I don't know what's going on. We have like, I don't know, I think we had like, I don't know, 15 kilometers to go, and we still had quite a while left on the day's clock. And we were just like, oh my gosh, we're going to finish today. That's incredible. So we ended up just, you know, trotting and letting our horses' heart rates recover, because obviously you want to make sure your horse is okay and look after your horse. And we got to 2 kilometers out from the finish line. And, you know, we were head on head, and I said, right, are you ready? Let's go. And we raced to the finish. And I think Elise's horse was just a little bit more tired than my horse. And I was really lucky. I had a phenomenal horse, and we managed to get past the line first.
Wow. That's an exciting way to finish. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, she's like a day and a half ahead. I mean, it was like down to the wire, how thrilling. Race. Yeah. Now you talked about cooling. I'm going to back up a little bit. You talked about cooling the horse, how your horse's heart rate came down so quick. Are you doing anything to help? Are you icing the horse? Are you putting water on him? Are you walking him? What are you doing to get the heart rate down? Or is it just kind of see what happens?
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? Like, when you're riding your horse, okay, well, these horses, firstly, are semi-wild, and they're not used to going 40 kilometers. So I think like a lot of horsemanship comes into the race, and you need to be able to read throughout that ride if your horse is, you know, got a lot of energy and is coping with the speed that you're going at, or if your horse needs to slow down a bit because, you know, your horse isn't as athletic as some others. And I think, you know, I just, I think I managed to read my horses pretty well. And, I just tried to make sure that when I was coming close to the end, so the last 10 kilometers, I would take it really easy. Uh-huh. So my horse had more time to recover before getting to the vet station. And, you know, it's just the luck with horse. Like, every horse is unique, like every person. And I think I was just really lucky that I got a horse that was slightly more athletic. And that's why its heart rate managed to recover a bit quicker.
We also have to give some love to Patrick Sells, who's out of New Zealand, and yes, he's a veterinarian. Speaking about horse care and caring about your horses, he actually did, I guess it was later in the race, he had to press his panic button, his call for help button, because he thought his horse was having a problem, right? Isn't that what happened? And
yeah,
he's a vet, right?
Yes, yeah. So like when you were out there, I mean, there was also one of the horses I got just, I think it was 20 kilometers from the finish, just stopped and would not move. And I, at that stage when I was trying to kick and go, and I got off and try to lead him, and he was panting really hard. And, you know, you have to make a call there, and then you have to be like, well, what am I seeing here? Is the horse hurt, or is the, you know, is the horse like really tired, or what should I do? And luckily, I mean, Pat had like more expertise than most of us. So he was able to, you know, see, okay, no, my horse needs help. And yeah, you just have to make a call out there, I guess.
Did you want to take the horse that you raced across the finish line? Did you just fall in love with it and want to take it home?
Oh my gosh, yes. I have never ridden a horse like that in my life. I was just like, I really felt so honored to be allowed to ride that horse. You know, I mean, I spoke to the owner of the horse, one of the herders, about his horse afterwards, and we exchanged handshakes, and he was saying thank you to me for riding his horse. But I was like, but you let me get on your horse. And it turned out that it actually had won 21 medals. So I really managed to pick a good horse for the finish line. And yeah, it was the best horse I've ridden. I rode the whole way.
One of the things we always ask about, of course, is you guys are basically staying on the steps with native people that are there, and you're ending up eating their food. How did, yes. Did you get violently ill like so many of the competitors? And if you didn't, how did you avoid getting violently ill like so many of the competitors?
Do you know what? The food this year, like, I think we all went into the race, like, we were eating before we started the race because we thought, you know, we're going to lose like 5 kilograms, but not many people lost that much weight. And the food was just incredible this year. It just was so tasty. And we had like fried dumplings with goat stuff, like goat in the middle. And most of the meat we ate was goat. And it was just really great food. And then, I mean, I did the one day get a bit ill, but I think what happened was I ate a huge lunch, and it was a really hot day, and the way my rucksack was sitting just, you know, didn't settle my stomach. So what I did was I changed for the rest of the time when I was riding. I just had little, very small meals every horse station just to keep my energy levels up and, keep me going.
Jamie, you weren't on the show. Yes, Jamie's a vegetarian, by the way, so she would just die. But yesterday when we had Heather on, who competed last year, she said a number of them got sick for days. And she said what she did is she got there 4 days early and she started eating all the native food she could find so that she would get sick before the race and get used to it.
Yeah, my friend Madison, she like went all over Phoenix trying different types of food. She's like, we ate goat. They went to every kind of like street corner that people were selling meat to like condition their stomachs. Did you do any of that?
Well, I mean, before the race, I'd been traveling since April. So I had already been, you know, changing what type of food I'd been eating for, you know, 4 months. Beforehand. So I think my stomach did have, was a bit stronger from that, you know, and trying all the different sorts of food everywhere I went. And I think I was just lucky to have a strong stomach. I mean, back to being a vegetarian, one of the competitors, Ben from New Zealand, he actually was vegetarian. And, you know, all your food had meat in and goat in. And so what he did was he'd like pick out the goat and at least would eat the meat, and then she'd give him some like of the carbs, and they had like a little thing going and he managed to get through. So
how much weight did that guy lose?
I don't know. The guys seem to look way, way more skinny than the girls, so we're like, oh, what did they get right?
It's not fair, is it? That's just ridiculous.
Well, now I do have to ask you a little bit about your home. We don't get to talk about South Africa that much, and we have a lot of listeners in South Africa, so tell us about where you live. Is it a very horsey place? You know, describe it to us.
So I stay in Constantia in Cape Town. And in my particular area, there's lots of horses everywhere and little stable yards. And we don't quite do endurance, so it's definitely more eventing and show jumping and, you know, dressage, equitation. But I definitely have found that, you know, back here, we I think in most places, we kind of, you know, pamper our horses quite a bit. And we're worried about what sort of ground we're riding on. And And then when we went to Mongolia, just the horses were absolute machines. And I realized, you know, these guys are really tough and strong. We don't need to pamper our horses so much back home. And I mean, Cape Town, what's really nice about doing horse riding as a sport, especially if you're younger and you're still in school, it gives you some sort of independence. And you're able to, you know, go on outrides by yourself. So outrides, like, for us are, like, in the green belts, like, kind of parks and forests and that. I mean.
Are you seeing all the wild exotic animals, or are you not in that part?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got some lions in my garden here.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not in that part. That's further up north. And, you know, I don't think it's quite like, I don't know, maybe some TV makes it out to sound like, you know, you're in deep, dark Africa and you live with elephants. And, no, we very, it's almost, I think our living is pretty first world, to be honest. Like, when I was in Texas and I was trying to get, I actually got injured. I fell off the one horse, reared up and fell backwards onto me. And I got quite injured and I was trying to get a doctor's appointment and eventually I got a doctor's appointment. But I felt like in South Africa, it would have been a lot easier.
Healthcare in South Africa is probably better than ours. That's true of most countries, actually.
By the way, you're ruining this whole fantasy of Africa. There are lions everywhere. You walk out your front door and there's a giraffe. Like, I want that. I want to believe that. So stop.
If you go up north, you know, I'm sure you could do that. You can live in a little mud hut and come out and see the sunrise. But, it's beautiful. I mean, Cape Town is really magnificent. You say it's a hot day outside and you're like, oh, I want to go to the beach. You get in the car, 10 minutes, you're at the beach. You want to go ride your horse up the mountain, 10 minutes, you're at the mountains, riding in the mountains. You know, it's pretty much got, I think, everything. If you want to be with the wild animals, you go slightly up north for a few hours and you can go be with the wild animals.
So what do you do for a living?
So I graduated from university last year. I studied chemical engineering. And this year, I kind of was having a little heart attack in December. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? You know, I should be getting a job and growing up. And then I think everything just fell into place. And I went traveling and I managed to get selected to go to Derby.
So basically you said, screw that, I'm going to go ride in the Mongol Derby instead.
Yeah, and then when I got into the Mongol Derby, I was like, oh my God, my dreams are coming true, let me go do this. And I did that, and I'm actually going to do my master's in the UK next month.
Well, good for you, and congratulations again. We're so excited for you. Will you ever do it again, or was once enough?
Do you know what, like, I've been absolutely consumed with the Derby, and I think most of my fellow riders have too. We're all busy still posting pictures and writing about our days there, and I would definitely do it again, but I think maybe I'd prefer if I went there with maybe some friends or some family, and we spent more time with the nomadic families, and just had more time to soak up the culture there, because it was just really fascinating, and it was very humbling watching the people on the step and how they, you know, interact with one another, and they have so much respect for one another. And just the hospitality of the families, like, you know, you and I would think they don't have too much, but looking at them now and, you know, knowing them a bit better, they have everything they need and they're very happy. And it was just, it was amazing. They were just offering us everything they had, their food, their homes, you know, their horses. I'd like to spend more time there. But it was a great event. I actually came back and I spoke to my brother and I was like, I know you don't ride, but I really think you should learn how to ride properly so you can go do this race.
Well, Byronnie, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And you must have a great internet connection in Cape Town too, because your connection's been perfect. So
thank you guys. I've just got lucky because we have, not the best.
Well, thank you, and good luck with your studies.
Okay, thank you so much, guys. It's been great being with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, does that make you want to sign up, Jamie?
No. Not a bit. How, I mean, it does seem amazing. And she's like, so surprised that these people want her to take their horse. I'm like, you're getting her horse trained. Like, this family's like, how can we get this horse trained? It's totally unbroke. Oh, just give it to this chick that's coming by. She'll ride it for 40 kilometers and it'll be broke.
Well, she was a great storyteller, too. She was really
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, that was so interested just listening. I mean, I was just totally caught up in it. So that was fun.
Yeah, she was great. And a perfect connection. Sounded like she was in the same room with us. You know, I every year we have the people on who do this. And every year I'm just in awe of, you know, because it just takes a certain kind of person. They were riding 12 to 14 hours a day at a gallop. You know, and they switch horses 40 times. So she it's probably crazy. Rode 35 to 40 different horses. And you see the bits they have in their mouths. We talked about that yesterday. If you look at the picture of her, we posted it on Facebook. It's kind of it dates back to old Roman times. And the bit actually comes out of their mouth, the metal part, and actually goes up a couple inches on the side. And apparently there is no control. It's no stopping, no control. It's not a harsh bit in any way, shape, or form. But what amazing athletes they are. To do that.
For sure. For sure. Really cool. I know. I just realized how much tougher other girls are than me. Like, oh yeah, you would totally kick my butt. Like, yeah. You are tough.
Yeah. I just eat anything. Goat. Whatever yeah, comes along. And it was good. You know, she actually liked the food. She was the first one, though, that we've interviewed that said they liked the food, if you remember right. Not too many like the food.
I would be all good. Be like, you know what? You guys enjoy your goat. I'm going to go graze next to the horse. Yeah,
you're going to be ripping up grass.
Like, do you pull it with your hand first? You just put your face right in.
Salt and sugar packets along for your grass salad.
Tree bark. Yummy.
All right, that's it. Let's take a break for our song. We're going to be back with more show. We have some fun news and some lists coming up for you also. Stephanie Quayle's coming up next with Sugar High.
Lying here on this blanket, just us and a billion stars. Listening to that river rolling along to the beat of our hearts. You're leaning a little bit closer, and there ain't no coming back down. Either the moon's sinking low or we're floating 100 feet off of the ground. I wish we could lie here forever with your this rush I'm getting, I feel like I can touch the sky. Your sweet love has got me on a sugar high. Sugar high. I know you brought two glasses and a bottle of sweet red wine. But I think you should save it, cause I'm thinking maybe gonna need it tonight. I wish we could.
That was Sugar High by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair, still fighting a cold after all of these weeks.
Gosh, I know, poor thing.
It went away, and then it came back. I hate when that happens. Just when you think you're going to get rid of it, it comes back.
She didn't rest long enough.
That's right.
That's it. I need a bigger break. It irritates Glenn way more than me.
Yeah, well, the cost of coughing. You know how it is when I have somebody in the house when that's happening.
Or in your room in the middle of the night, you're like, go somewhere else.
Yes, that's right.
And you're coughing.
That is true. Well, we are going to have for you this half hour. We have some fun lists for you. We also have some news, and we were talking about eventing earlier. And remember last week we had Victoria on, who couldn't join us today because she's off at the European Eventing Championships in her home country of Scotland. But we were talking about Burley, and I said, made a prediction, that you would see Michael Young in first and second and third and fourth and fifth place, and then you'd see William Fox Pitt in there. And so I was a little wrong. I was just a little wrong. Michael Young did end up winning the thing he's out of Germany. And then the Australians and New Zealanders took six of the top 10 places. They just kicked butt. Tim Price came in second. Christopher Burton came in third and fourth. He was in some money. Janelle Price, Mark Todd, and Sam Griffiths, they're all out of Australia and New Zealand, and they just kicked butt. There were only two British riders, Christina Cook and William Fox Pitt. William Fox Pitt came in 10th. William Fox Pitt came in 10th. When's the last time I said that about a four-star event?
He apparently must have lost a finger or something. I mean, what happened?
I know. The top American was Lynn Szymanski, who's just kicking it with Donner. She does such
She's a amazing.
Good job with Donner, and she came in 14th, so she was the top American finisher. Paul Tapner, host of the Eventing Radio Show, came in 13th. So Paul was right
Dude,
up
to
there
finish
well.
That horse trial, I mean, have you seen some of the pictures of
the
those
footage?
Jumps?
I know.
And the footage? Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just... It's like Rolex on speed. You can't even fathom how crazy it is. I can't believe horses can do that.
It's really neat. And so congratulations to Michael Young. There's an interview, Jennifer Wright, in this week's Eventing Radio Show that's coming out. Michael Young, they head on, right?
Yeah, Michael Young came on to talk about his big win. And Colleen Rutledge came on, too. She has a lovely, frank discussion about how things went for her.
Oh, good.
Good.
She's awesome, too.
Well, then let's stay on eventing. We head over to Five Points, which is at the Carolina Horse Park in North Carolina. You said you've competed there.
Yeah, I did the AECs there one of the first years of the American Eventing Championships when I had my little fancy warm blood who actually won things. So I have competed there. It wasn't called Five Points, though. I wasn't sure what the place was called, but it's the Carolina Horse Park, I guess.
Yeah, the Carolina Horse Park, and we've been there too. It's a neat place. Well, they had their five. They had this horse trials over the weekend, and unfortunately, there was some sad news out of it. And they went up to CIC 3-star 2, I believe. But Will Faudry, who we've talked about here in the show before, took a nasty spill and actually broke his neck in two places.
Oh.
They had to do surgery on his neck following the fall, and he broke the C6 and C7 vertebrae in his neck, and the surgical team actually fused two sections of the spine during the operation. So he was released today already, which I was surprised. Do you think that he'd be in for longer? I don't know. They were announcing that he'd be released. I'm sure he was going to rehab. I mean, he was going home.
But one thing is amazing is that eventers are so tough. You know, you just broke your neck. Let's be honest. Yeah. You broke your neck.
Right.
And you're like, oh, his post, Facebook post was like, oh, I have such a great group. I cannot wait to get back out on the horses.
It's going to be a little while.
Well, still, but like, that's the first thing. It's like, oh my God, I just broke my neck. I can't wait to ride again. I mean, I get it, I guess, but give it some time before you're like, oh, I'm going to go ride Burley next year.
Right.
This is amazing.
Well, then Dana Cook actually broke her pelvis in a fall at fence 17 on the intermediate cross country course. And so she had that issue. Then Sarah Siegel broke her collarbone. So there was a whole lot of that ambulance was busy. Do you know what kind of holdups they had at that show? Because anybody that hasn't been to an event like that, they have one ambulance usually. And if that ambulance takes somebody to the hospital, the event has to stop.
Yeah.
Until there's a second ambulance or the ambulance returns and then they start again. This ambulance made three trips. So
amazing.
There must have been some delays, but congratulations to all those people who did make it through through 5 points this year.
It's awesome.
One more news story here yet? Out of the event.
Is yours
world?
Sure.
One more.
Of course.
The Queen is going to present the medals at the FEI European Eventing Championships going on at Blair Castle right now.
Really?
It's the European Eventing Championships. Blair Castle, by the way, if you've not seen pictures of Blair Castle, this one dates back to 1200. This is a really cool building. And it is a castle. It's a stunning structure. And apparently it's a cool show. It's the biggest show they do in Scotland every year. And the Queen, they invited the Queen to come and watch the final show jumping round and then to give out the awards. And she said yes. So everybody's very excited. Can you imagine? You go around and you win. You're in the top 10 and you have the Queen giving you the award.
That's added pressure for sure.
I'm sure. Do you think they get etiquette lessons before they go out onto the podium?
Oh, I would imagine. I mean, I would need one.
Yeah, don't kiss her on the cheek.
What do I do?
You know?
Don't hug her. Yeah, don't touch her. You know, just don't bend stare over and down get her shirt.
Yeah. Bend over and get your medal.
Seriously.
Thank you. And I'm sure you get the proper wording and all of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, really.
It's pretty
awesome.
Cool that she's 90 freaking years old and still out there handing out medals.
So, is she 90 or 80?
She's going to be 90 this year. Oh, her big celebrations are coming up at her 90th birthday in May.
What a superwoman. Yeah. She's just amazing. How cool.
So there you go. I'm done with the venting news now.
Oh, no, it's all good. I have a call to action for our listeners. I don't know why, but I just found out about this and I'll keep it really, really quick. But one of my favorite places to go eat lunch was a place called Jimmy John's. Do you guys have Jimmy John's in Florida?
Yeah, and I never liked it all that much.
They have a great, it was a good, moderately good vegetarian option, although the bread was white and it was really unhealthy. But Jimmy John's, now no more. I will never eat there ever again.
Uh-oh.
What did Jimmy John do to you?
Jimmy John Leotode, whatever his last name is.
So there really is a Jimmy John?
Yeah, it's his name. Oh, he's okay. The founder of it. He has been now caught, I guess you would say, in high quality big game hunting in North America and Africa since the 80s. And he has now killed wolves, deer, lynx, elephant, buffalo, zebras, and just killed a pregnant rhinoceros and orphaned two babies at the time that he killed
rhinos. Rhinos were off limits.
What's the deal?
Yeah, I thought they were off limits. That you.
It's awful. I didn't want to read anymore. I was so disturbed by the whole thing. So no more Jimmy John's, anybody, please. I guess all across the country, people are calling for a boycott of Jimmy John's. And I just wanted to use my platform that I have right now to tell everybody, please don't eat there.
Eat at Firehouse Subs. We have those over here and they support the local fire department. So
do they? Yeah. Oh, see, that's cool.
So that's the competitor over here for Jimmy John's is Firehouse Subs. And it's very good.
Okay, good. No
as
more.
As far as
Jimmy
I know,
John's.
They're not doing any hunting in the firehouse. So.
They're giving firemen's money as opposed to slaughtering pregnant rhinoceroses.
Now,
seriously?
Sure, a story is going to come out tomorrow about, Firehouse Subs.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. That sounds like a better organization. So, yeah, no more Jimmy John's ever for anybody, please. On another note, let me just move past that. Pinterest. Are you guys on Pinterest, either one of you?
We have an account, but I've never used it. It's like, there's so many social media things now. I can't keep up.
I just joined it, and I need a tutor.
find yourself an 11-year-old.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I need to get my students in here. I joined it because you can take, I created a board, which is like a little page, I guess, my own little page. And one is called Future Barn, one is called Future House, and one is called Future Arena. I'm going to have future all these things listed. And you can go around and you can type in like Western decor in a farmhouse. And all these pictures come up. So I've got really good ideas for my Future Barn, like it's just getting more expensive with Pinterest. And there's all these like do-it-yourself ideas like, oh, look at this. I can make a planter out of a halter and put that up. And then I can, oh, take framed cheek pieces from horse halters, frame those and put those up as decor. Oh, look at this. I can make a round bale feeder from pallets. I all these ideas. I'm never going to be able to do any of these things. I'm going to have to hire somebody to do these things. I'm not like crafty, but it makes me think I'm super crafty.
You like the idea of being crafty, not the actual being crafty.
Yeah, I would love to be crafty. I just am not. But there's like this really cool, I'll post this one. It's a saddle swing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could totally make this. I can't make that. What am I thinking? And now I realize why people do these Pinterest fail things. Like you can Google Pinterest fails and it's like it's what Pinterest actually showed and then what you actually made. And they're totally different. So I get it now, but I really think that I can make a PVC saddle pad wall rack. Of course I can't make a PVC saddle pad wall rack. I can't do things like that. That requires glue and measuring and cutting. I can't do that.
I got to tell you about this website. You're going to love this. It's called indestructibles.com. And I'm on their email list. And what they do is they post stuff that you can do yourself. And it's like, you know, making these electronic things out of cardboard, you know, and how to make a concrete soap dish, you know, or all of these do-it-yourself projects. And I just thought of you because these do-it-yourself projects kick it up a notch. I mean, you have to actually be good at doing something to make any of these. It just is incredible, the stuff. I get the emails just to see what other people have done. And I go, well, there's no way in hell I can do that. So it makes me feel insecure and really, you know, my self-esteem goes down every time I read this website.
It's Instructibles, not Indestructibles.
Oh, yes, it's Instructibles. You're right. Yeah. Well, and I guess most of the stuff they...
Indestructibles. Yeah,
Instructibles. And it's all about the instructions on how to do these things.
You can make a concrete soap dish. Yes. Everybody should know how to do that.
Everybody should know how to do that. There's things on here of like how to pick a lock. You know, you can learn how to pick a lock. And it is a funny website.
A mini forge.
Yeah, you can make yourself a little forge. Yep. Hey, there was a study, Jamie.
I mean, I'm still on this Instagram. Okay. I can't do this. And now I've Googled Pinterest fails in there. Yeah. Like what makes it, what minion, here, I'll post this one for you. A minion cupcake and then what actually came out to be the minion cupcake.
Oh, yeah.
Just Google Pinterest fails and image it. It's hilarious. That's going to be me.
That'd be Jamie. Now she'll be able to kill 12 hours for the next 3 days just on Pinterest.
Yep. Yep, I'm in trouble. But anybody said and then I got this email that my father's wife is following me on Pinterest, and I'm like, how could she see this? I don't want anybody to see what I'm going to build. Can I make it private? Like, I don't want any followers. Leave me alone. I don't want you to see the crap that I'm going to fail on. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, there was a study, and I do have our monthly study report, and we can start with an actual equestrian study. So what they studied was personality traits and the influences that your personality traits have on what you do in the horse world and who's good at what. So they actually interviewed 4,000 riders, 4,000 English-speaking equestrians who completed a questionnaire that enabled the researchers to identify their personality profiles. Now, again, I don't know how much this cost, but I think that you probably could guess the answers. A key finding is that competitive riders are more extroverted and conscientious than their non-competitive counterparts.
Huh.
Aren't you excited to know that? And that extroverted and conscientious people actually adapt better to the stresses of competition.
Huh.
Well, if you think about the competitors that are out there, you know, most of them that are at the top levels are extroverts. You know, that kind of makes sense. I mean, then it went on to a bunch
now,
of different...
Now, let me stop you here. I sometimes get extrovert and introvert confused. So what is the definition
extrovert
of an extrovert?
Extrovert is like we are. An introvert is a person who doesn't talk much and really stays behind the scenes.
Okay. Okay. So like an extrovert is a very...
Type A. Yeah.
Like in your face, kind of.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's what they, you know, and they showed that competitive riders consider themselves more conscientious and extroverted. Riders participating in higher risk disciplines consider themselves less agreeable and less conscientious, which I thought was interesting.
You know, are you pointing your finger at me somehow with this?
And then increases in agreeability, conscientious, and decreases in neuroticism in older riders. What they found is the older you get, the more agreeable you become, and the less neurotic you become. So what they kind of determined, like we didn't know this also.
When does that happen for them?
You got some time yet. When you're about my age, you'll be there. So what they found is that teenagers tended to be a little neurotic. Well, there again, I didn't need a study to tell me that, right? So yeah, I don't know what the study exactly proved. And that leads me into our study show segment for September. This is the time of the month.
I'm sorry. You can't throw all that at me and then not let me comment on it.
Go ahead.
So at some point in my life, I'm going to be okay with the way that Chad cleans the stalls, and I'm not going to be working every detail of everything outside neurotically with the horses. Is that what you're telling me?
How he has not divorced you is beyond me, by the way. I'm just saying. But yes, you will chill out. Jennifer, have you chilled out over the years about that stuff?
Yes. I no longer hover over Glenn when he cleans stalls.
Although, Jamie, after she said that the other day, I cleaned the stalls and then I walked around the other side of the barn and I thought, I know what she's doing. So I snuck back and I peeked around the corner and there she was in doing the second cleaning of the stalls after me.
See? Okay, so I'm not crazy because I really feel like it's not that hard to, like, you know, air out the wet spot. Just pull all that stuff back and,
like, by the way, it's so funny you say that because that's what I didn't do. That's exactly. I got all the poop, but I didn't do that because us horse husbands figure, look, it looks all dry on top. They're not going to notice underneath.
Yeah. And then you've got a problem and we have to call the vet because my horse's breathing is bad because he's got too much ammonia.
The chill out part comes with this, Jamie, is you do what Jennifer did. You sneak in after so I don't see her doing that and you don't mention it anymore. You give up on mentioning it.
Nope. It's not a training exercise anymore.
That's right.
Just go take care of it.
You just go take care of it. I think that's where you're going to grow. That'll be your growth.
Less neurotic, taking care of the horses. Like the people that board with me better thank God that I have horses out there too, because the things that I do to my horses, like, oh my gosh, it's 10 p.m. They need their carrot and they need to be sprayed with the mosquito spray. So at 10 p.m. every night, I'm so tired. I go out there and I spray. I'm like, well, four of these are mine, but the other four aren't mine. So I need to spray them too. And by the way, I bought this spray and I don't charge anybody for it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, look, there's like a piece of hay in their water. I need to clean out their entire water bucket. And then I do that. And then I'm like, oh, look, he needs a fly sheet. Look, he's just, let me go get him one. And then I end up, dude, it's insane. The things that I do out there, people that, you know, it's not the fanciest place that I live, but by God, all my boarders call it the spa, the horse spa.
You know, there's some farms that charge like $5 a day to spray their horse. I mean,
I'd be a millionaire if I actually charged for things.
You put on a blanket. A lot of farms, it's like $5 a day.
Can't just spray my own and then leave the other four stomping mosquitoes. It's just not fair. So, yeah, you know, the neuroticism could definitely be less. So all I have to do is age.
Yeah, you got another 10, 15 years. You'll be fine. Providing anybody is left in your life that hasn't deserted you by that point.
You just stop.
So these are my study show in September. What I do is I just put study show in the Google. I put the last month and I see what wacky studies they've spent a lot of money on. And then Jamie, Jennifer, and I go, if they'd just given us that money, we could accomplish a whole lot more that they spent on these studies. So studies show that vitamin C has little effect on colds. So apparently everything our grandmothers and mothers have been telling us was crap.
Nope, you just have to bind it with calcium, and then it's absorbable better.
There you go. See?
How about that?
the neurotic one knows.
Yeah, neurotic.
Studies show that high cell phone usage is associated with decreased performance of college students.
What? I was on my phone. What'd you say? Where am I?
That's a joke. Late night eating can... Now, get this. Late night eating can slow weight loss.
I think you're, yeah,
you're onto that's something
like,
there.
Seriously, yeah. Somebody paid for that? Yeah. Like, you mean if I eat at night, if I binge
I
eat
had
at
to
night,
read it
I'm not
twice.
Gonna...
It's go. Did they really just say that? Studies show that going back to school improves kids' health.
No, it does not. That is a lie.
That is a lie.
How many friends'
kids
have colds,
yes, exactly,
and nasty germs?
There's a lot of parents right now that have colds because their kids just went back to school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Studies also show that taking an extended vacation is linked with better productivity when you go back to work.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
duh.
Yeah, okay. Again, we studied
money
that.
Well spent, yeah.
Studies show that a concussion can have devastating effects. They're still doing studies on that? Like that hasn't been proven 25 years ago?
You mean if I sustain a head injury, I don't get smarter?
Yes.
What? Gosh, I'm right. Glad they spent their money on that.
Studies show being bilingual makes you smarter and a better lover.
See, amigo. And if you speak a lot of accents, then
I do. I am sure Chad is turned on by your accents. I am sure that that's a bedroom activity.
Yeah, he'll ask me to talk, you know, in my British accent.
I'm sure he does. I'm
just cooking breakfast. Please. So sexy.
Studies show that Japanese people are drinking less than ever. They mean alcohol, by the way. So, yeah. Studies.
Who cares about studying that? Like,
I don't know. Studies show that marijuana doesn't shrink the brain, but it can change it. Again.
Thanks.
Yeah, like we didn't know. Maryland has the worst traffic in the country, studies show. And
really?
I believe that. We just drove through Maryland a couple weeks ago. It was awful. So the Washington, D.C. corridor there is just a nightmare. So I agree with that one. Studies show that popular grocery stores can boost your home values.
Huh. So like if you have a Trader Joe's nearby, like, I mean, that is a selling point.
Guess what they showed? A Trader Joe's is what they showed in the picture. So that is exactly what they showed. If you,
in my opinion,
if you have a Wegmans nearby, that improves your home value. I love Wegmans. Studies show that cats are not dependent on humans.
No. You mean the cats will be just fine without me? They don't need to meow at my window, but he doesn't need to meow at my window at 3 in the morning?
God. Like they studied that. Studies show that traffic negatively affects commuters. So if it's heavy traffic, you're in a worse mood, is basically what the study showed. And they actually studied that and spent money on it.
I got to tell you that it is awful for commuters doing traffic. But as a former traffic reporter, there was nothing more exciting than like a really bad traffic day. I loved it. I ate it up. It was my favorite
that
thing.
That was your job.
It's I
like
know.
Like a weatherman when a hurricane's hitting Florida.
Exactly. It was great. I should move to Maryland.
Studies show the last one, this is a good one, actually. Studies show that Brazilian wasps venom could be a powerful weapon against cancer. And I actually went in and read that one. It was very interesting that this wasp venom is proving to help actually reverse cancer in rats and mice. So they're going to continue that research. Now, I don't know how many Brazilian wasps it would take to cure cancer for everybody in the world. I would imagine a lot of Brazilian wasps.
What I want to know about the study show is how the hell you were like, let's take Brazilian wasp venom and inject it into a tumor on a mouse and see if it works.
Exactly.
Like, how many things have you done before you got to Brazilian wasp? Like, I'm going to take the slobber of a dog. I mean, like, nope, that didn't work. Let's move on. Like,
yeah.
How do you come up with
Brazilian
wasp?
Wasp.
Like, this one worked, you guys. It's crazy.
That is funny. So I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen with that.
Makes you kind of feel bad for the rats and mice. Oof.
I'd rather they tested all those weird things on the rats and the mice, to be honest.
Hey, I've got a list for you too, and of course it's from my favorite website, Horse Collaborative. And this is the top 10 health benefits
like
of
the BuzzFeed of the horse world.
It's exactly the equestrian BuzzFeed.
Yep.
And this is actually just a really good list, and it's incredibly true. The top 10 health benefits of owning a horse. Number one, it keeps you physically active.
And, you know, people always say that the horse does all the work. And sure, if I'm just going on a walk trail ride, I might not burn that many calories. But you know what does burn calories? Getting out of my car, going down the pasture, chasing my horse around, grabbing put a halter on, grooming him, walking him around, doing everything that is around having a horse. And then go for a canter and you're burning calories. So it does keep you very physically active. It builds self-confidence.
And neuroticism, apparently.
And neuroticism, apparently. But I have a teenage girl here that rides that her mother told me that since she started riding horses here, I mean, she started here, it's a different child. She's like, she is apparently a really high anxiety teenager, you know, 12, 13 year old, high anxiety. And if anything is kind of off, she kind of freaks out. Well, she went to a party and like her best friend that was supposed to be there didn't show up. And she was like, I'm okay, I'm fine. And she said that before it would have totally freaked the child out. And she's like, she's got a horse now and she rides and she's got so much more confidence. I tell the people that having a horse for a teenager is much cheaper than rehab. I'm telling you. Get a horse for a teenager if they want one. It's amazing. Reduces stress. Maybe it reduces stress. Yeah. It kind of creates a lot of stress.
I think
for
it depends
me.
On the day of the week.
Reduces stress.
It depends entirely on the day of the week, I think.
I don't know about that one. Keeps you socially active. Very true. I like to think, I mean, being at a boarding stable and having people around you all the time with your horses, you chit chat all the time. It's super fun here to have the boarders show up. I love it. I'm like, hey, there's humans that are not two. I love it. Not of a two-year-old. Engages the creative side of your brain. And they go on to say that training a horse brings up daily challenges that will force you to think creatively about how to train it and solve a particular problem.
As long as it's duct tape and baler twine.
Yeah, that's how you do Pinterest things. That's right. My Pinterest is duct tape and baler twine. Builds character. Definitely. Character building, they say, is a natural part of horse ownership, teaching responsibility, punctuality, sportsmanship, frugality, patience, commitment, confidence, and self-esteem.
You can't be late in the ring. The judge doesn't like that.
No, and you can't be late for a lesson at my house. I'll cut you off the knees. Don't you be late. Promotes a union with nature. I posted, and I'll repost it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It is a kind of a spoof on commercials that talk about this side, you know, drug commercials like, hey, if you do this, if you have a problem with this, take this drug. And then there's all the side effects. And it's a commercial for nature. Like if you have high anxiety, if you have stress, if you have trouble with, you know, punctuality and getting along, try nature. And it's a really funny commercial. And they do go on to say, like, you know how at the bottom of all those drug commercials, they'll have like, warning, side effects may include this. Well, this one, it says, just warning, golf is not nature. I love that. So I sent that to my husband. So horses promote a union with nature. It says improve. And the last one is improves digestion. Riding a horse at a walking pace stimulates your internal organs just as walking on foot does. It aids in liver function and digestion. And the horse people I know all need help with their liver function. Well, so,
and you know what? Unless, of course, you're eating goat hot pockets in the middle of the steppes of Mongolia, then it may not apply.
That helps everything else in your digestion.
Yeah, it gets the digestion going, that's for sure.
You're out of there. So. We're just healthier people with horses.
I really wanted to ask her about the bathroom question. I really did, by the way. I don't know. I held back. I really wanted to ask about that question. I don't know why I think about those things. But
what's it in the movie? In the movie Up, because I see so many Pixar movies, the little kid goes off to poop in the woods and he's like, do I dig the hole before or after?
It's one of my favorite lines in that movie.
You take a little shovel or you just go for it. I don't know.
And can we say officially here that all three of us are agreeing on something TV wise? And that never happens because Jamie doesn't like anything we like. We don't like anything she likes, except for one thing we're all looking forward to. And we better not be disappointed. And that is the Muppets TV show. 2 weeks away.
Muppet Show. I posted a commercial for it on my Facebook page.
It was hilarious.
It's so
hilarious. Yes, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. It starts, what, the 22nd? It's 20 seconds too, right?
Oh yeah, this thing is, and they're promoting the heck out of it, so it's going to be exciting. I can't wait, and maybe I can actually enjoy a TV show with Lucas at the same time and not watch Megamind for the 400th time in a day.
Well, we're gonna have some fun with talking about that too as the time goes on. So that's what's happening here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. The show's over already. It went by fast today. You can check out all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can go back to all 1,200 of them if you want to. The easiest way to listen to our shows, of course, is on our app. Go to iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. Horses in the Morning is one of the 8 shows on that app, and you can hear them all every week there. And tomorrow we have Mary Kitzmiller coming. And I also have to say, remind everybody, get your ads in for really bad ads this week, because we have a signed copy by the author of Sergeant Reckless. So you're going to get the book Sergeant Reckless signed and personalized to you by the author. And we're giving away that to the winner of Really Bad Ads this week. So get your ad in and send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. So there's a big prize on the line, and she was so excited to do it. A lot of people went out and bought the book after we had the author on. That was the day you were gone. Wendy was here.
I know. I'm so bummed. But I actually, at that time that I was gone, I was listening to it on Audible.
And
so I did.
Did you cry?
I need another road trip because I'm not finished with it. But oh God, I cried like 47 different times. But I'm a bit of a crier when it comes to these things. But when they talked about awarding her the medal, or the Marines that stood up for her, like some Marine walked up and was like, "What is that?" That was like, "This horse outranks you, private. You lay down, give me 20. I mean, they just defended this horse to the end. I mean, it was amazing. They covered her in flak jackets, their own jackets, to protect her. It's just so inspiring. And those times are the times that I really got teary-eyed.
Well, what about Chad? You know, he's a big, tough military guy, fighter pilot. What did he think?
Oh, he is just as into it as I am, because he talks about war. He doesn't love war, but he loves studying. He knows so much about, any type of battle. Like, he knows everything about Genghis Khan all the way up through World War II. I mean, just all of that. He's just so interested in it. So this was really interesting for him, and he had never heard of Reckless. So,
and he's quite a colonel now. Chad.
He's a lieutenant colonel,
And you know, our neighbor, our landlord here, is a retired 2-star general. He's exactly the same way. Loves all that military history stuff. Well, they go to college for it, you know, a lot of the officers. So, you know, and study military history. And try
they
to
do. Thank you for coming up with the word military history. Hey, our show's over. I'm going to go ride.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Well, let's... Oh, man. You know, just when I want something fun to happen, YouTube screws it up.
Oh, no!
Muppet Show with our very special guest star, Shirley Bassey!
Yeah! Yeah! A little Muppet music to take us out today.
It's time to play the music! It's time to light the light! It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight!
Have a good day, everybody. Be safe.
Only about 10 more sleeps till you get to see this.
You think they're going to have the same theme?
They better.
Where's the old guys? Well,
then. It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
13 more sleeps.
Animal on the drums. I know all their names. Of course, we have 2 horses named after Muppets, so.
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebration.